All right. My name is Mark, or Mookie, if you prefer. Either one will do, from 88.5 FM. It's a here-at-home artist interview. We've been doing these since the pandemic started because obviously it's easier to do a Zoom interview than route a whole band to the radio station with all the gear. One of the cool things about this is we get to see sometimes how artists live, their living rooms, their home studios, and we're with Brett Denon right now. Where in the world are you at the moment?
I'm in Ventura, California, not too far from you. I'm within range. I listen to you on the radio, and I am in my little back studio. I use this place to paint and write and do some recording, and it's pretty messy, but that's my little paint station right there. And I got some outdoor cushions over here just piled up on the floor.
I love it. It's quite well lit.
Yeah, we got the double French doors, and it's just a little grassy walk to the house right over there.
So is that where the magic happens, like demos for the record See the World type of thing?
Yeah, well, I didn't have this then. A lot of the demos for See the World were made in the garage.
No.
Nightmare. That's why the album sounds like somebody was sniffing paint fumes. Lacquer thinner.
Well, I think that's part of the charm of the album, maybe. BrettDenon.live is the website. People could get the merch. People could purchase the album, which is out right now. I've been following you for a really long time. I've been with other radio stations up and down the coast in SoCal for a while now. You know, I've been such a big fan that years ago I actually named my Hyundai Elantra Sydney after a song of yours. Since then, I sold the car, so we're now a one-car household right now, but I just wanted to let you know about that.
So why, that's, first of all, that's awesome. Second of all, why did you name your car Sydney?
It was around the time where the song Sydney came out, and I had that thing on, basically on a loop for forever, and that's a song that I think we'll be playing on the radio forever.
Cool, thank you. It was a Hyundai Elantra?
Yeah. Little, a white one. Yeah. I don't know if that's the reaction that I was expecting. You were like, why on earth would you do something like that?
Well, I don't know. I don't think I once had a silver Prius, and when I got it, it was, it looked like something from the future, I thought. And so I named it Gary after Frank Gehry, the architect, because all he was at the time was all famous for all the big silver spacey looking things. But I've never named another car after or before or after. But yeah, I'm flattered. Naming a car after a song is an honor.
Appreciate that so much. I sold it for $1,500, and that money is going a long way for me and my family at this moment. The last time we saw you was a few years ago. It was at the Small Room at Hotel Cafe, and the sparkling rosé was flowing. I believe it was the Vacationer brand of wine. Are you still involved in the wine game as an aficionado?
And a little bit, but I'm phasing out. We made for 6 or 7 years, we made a sparkling rosé and then a still rosé. And I think our timing was just pretty terrible because it was right when rosé just blew up everywhere. And the French and the Italians can make it so well and for so cheap, and to make it in California and to try to compete, we couldn't break even. And I was doing a lot of stuff like you saw me do, promoting as much as I could, but it just was really hard to get the brand off the ground. So We're rethinking. We're trying to think what we're going to do next. So we still have a lot of wine that we've made over the past 5 years that we're selling, but we're not making any new vintages currently.
I hear you. Since then, it seems like you've done some other things. You've got the Denon Goods Company, which I think we'll touch on a little bit later in the interview, if you don't mind. Before we get into our first song, I did want to ask you, and something that you had mentioned, I think, at Hotel Cafe a couple of years ago, you really do have an affinity for radio. And it kind of was part of your upbringing, I guess you could say. You said some really nice things about the World Cafe program.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I grew up in a small farm town in Northern California. And the only radio we had was like hit country and classic rock. And we had some we had a great PBS station that came from University of the Pacific. And they played mostly classical and bluegrass music, but at night times they would play the World Cafe. And it would come on at around 9 o'clock. So, you know, I grew up in a time where really good music made it to pop radio, like Pearl Jam and the Chili Peppers and all that stuff was pretty mainstream. So like listening to Top 40, it was easy to get good music, but then like I could never, like I caught like the whole college music phenomenon, like that would have just, I wouldn't have heard about any of that if it weren't for the World Cafe. And it was the first time I ever heard David Gray, and it was the first time I even ever heard Coldplay. I would listen to it religiously every night, just draw pictures and listen to the World Cafe. And I freaked David Dye out a little bit the first couple of times I met him.
Why did you have to sort of pinch yourself and think, wow, yeah, I can't believe that I'm here?
I was there with him, and I told him this whole long story about how much I've listened to him and all that. And it was just, you know, it was probably a lot to handle. You're supposed to act like you've been there before.
I'm sure he was flattered.
I could say the same thing for the independent, man. What is it? What do you say? It's not fearlessly independent. You say like unapologetically?
Yeah, man.
Unapologetically independent? I could say the same thing. You definitely shaped my, like I used to never, I couldn't stand Father John Misty. I just didn't get it. I was like, I don't know, I'm not down with this guy. But you just kept playing that one song that's so good. That song where he's like, he's in a hotel and it's like correspondence from the hotel manager.
Yes. Yes. Mr. Tillman is the song.
Oh my God. And that was sort of like the doorway. I was like, okay, this guy is a genius, I think. Like he's got this crazy sense of humor. He doesn't take himself too seriously, but he comes across as taking himself seriously. He's got a great voice and he knows how to write a song. And it's because I just heard that song like at least once a day for like 4 years.
You know, it's a bit contrived and very tongue in cheek, but yeah, I think it's brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
You have a piece of art there behind you, which I'm assuming is a Brett Denon original. Is that you just doodling a little bit, or was that inspired by where you live in Ventura County?
It's kind of a wave and a mountain. I'm just messing around with different wave ideas. These are all watercolor. I don't know what this is. This is just shapes, more shape ideas. When I'm bored, I come out here and I just go crazy. And so
do you still make original art for just about every tour stop?
I do when I'm traveling with a full tour with a tour bus. I bring paints and pens and paper and pencils, and it's part of my routine in the daytime. I'll wake up, have some tea or coffee, paint a picture, go do something, come back, work on the picture a little bit more, post it on social media, sell it at the show. But when I'm doing, like lately I've been touring with a lot of fly dates and renting a car, flying, bumping around. And you know, when I do those kinds of tours, I cram all my clothes into my guitar case and like,
right.
I cut my toothbrush in half and I just pack as light as I can.
So right, like Bear Grylls or something like that. Did you do the album art for See the World? I imagine you did.
I did, yeah. I have it right here, actually. It's oh no, it's right here. I did it's all like, you familiar with like the Matisse cutouts?
No.
Like later in his life when Matisse was bedridden, he would like have people put canvases next to him and he would lay in bed and he'd put a paintbrush on the end of a pole and he'd paint like that. But then he got really into just cutting out pieces of paper and then just gluing them on to other pieces of paper. And he's actually really famous for it. It became like some of the biggest stuff that he ever did. But so I did this.
Oh, there you go.
So it's very Matisse. And then I wrote some breath in and see the world, and then I put it in Photoshop. But yeah, that's it. And then I actually just came across, you know, the next single is the song called Paul Newman Daytona Rolex. So I spent a lot of time painting pictures of Paul Newman just to try to get some art going for that.
Incredible. Which I Googled it last night. I think that was the most expensive wristwatch ever sold.
Yeah, the Daytona Rolex that Rolex gave to him, he sold at an auction a couple of years ago for $17 million.
Wow.
And it was his daughter's boyfriend that sold it, and I think they're giving most of it to charity.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
In the spirit of the man.
Well, our listeners have been hearing the song See the World for quite a bit. Watched the music video for the first time. It kind of looks like a family home movie, which is amazing. You're at the beach. It looks like you're at some river or something like that. And the song alone kind of tugs at your heartstrings. And to get the visuals with you and your family, it's perfect. It's just incredible. I know you kind of...
It's very real. It's like what we do. It's like the beach here in Ventura at our house. And then the river is like, we go to the river all the time up in Ojai. And that's just what we do. And sometimes the three of us go, or if I'm watching them all day, I'll take them. If Christina's with them all day, she'll take them. And we go play in the park. And we wanted to make a simple video that was straightforward and about us and about our life. And the idea was to try to put it, you know, see the world through your own eyes, to put it through Van's perspective. And that's why we gave him the camera and try to capture as much of what he sees as we could.
Right. That makes more sense as far as some of the camera angles. I love it.
Across.
What was that?
It wasn't obvious.
No. So good. It's fantastic. Again, the album is See the World. It's out right now, playing the Troubadour on November 11th. We were promised two songs.
Okay.
What do you got for us first?
See the World?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Where you going, my brown-eyed son? He used to crawl, but now you run. He started off on a road half dark, and the river grew into a question mark. Will you sleep on diamond beaches, dear? And drink from prism streams so clear? Don't have to be rich to get around. There are mansions growing out of the ground. Please go back, get out and see the world. Please go back, get out and see the world. And at the journey to you far from home, and it pushed you out of your comfort zone. There's kids out there with war paint on, and hearts break like crayon. Before you left, the world was small. Now the hills are beating like waterfalls. There's a lot of bad things that are buried shallow, and cries for help with no echoes. Please go back, get out and see the world. Please go back, get out and see the world. See what you're going through. Just knowing can't beat up on you. You spend some time in the waiting place, and the purest things may leave no trace. Go up the mountain top and shine. I reflected on my long decline. I've gathered sunsets in my prime. Now I'm planting trees I'll never climb. These goodbyes, get out and see the world.
Incredible. There you go. That's the, I guess, the 88.5 FM version of See the World, done by Brett Denon at his home studio on this Here at Home interview for the interview series on 88.5 FM. Now you're planting trees that you'll never climb. God, man, that just speaks to life and mortality. The first time I heard that song, no doubt in my head, you wrote that with your son in mind. You know, and there's even a bit of a Dr. Seuss reference in that particular song as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You caught it. The waiting, spend some time in the waiting place. Yeah. Well, it's definitely inspired by watching my son crawl and grow and wanting to make a contribution to the many, many great songs that a parent has written for a child. But I wrote most of the lyrics for the verses before I had the chorus. And I knew I said, like, days go by, I get out and see the world. I was working on that for a long time. But then I came up with the part, see the world with your own eyes. And then once I thought of that, I thought, okay, this song maybe is now, it's more than just a song to a kid. It's more than just like my version of, oh, the places you'll go, the Dr. Seuss book. It's more about making a case for everyone going out and experiencing life and to get outside of their own boundaries and understand other people. And now that we've been through a year and a half of being shut down it's taken on a whole new meaning about reevaluating life and being present, being focused and in the moment and seeing the value and the things that we have, the things that we may have taken for granted, and seeing the world all over again as if it's brand new, like it's a second chance. So I think about any one of those things when I'm singing that song.
At the end of the day, I don't think anybody's going to say, you know, looking back, I wish I worked more.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know?
That's the truth.
Yeah, and as difficult...
practice.
That's true, and as difficult it has been for some people, especially with young kids in quarantine, I know we're all going to look back and think how fortunate we were to be able to spend so much great quality time the past few years, you know. You talk about the environment and your surroundings. There's a few other initiatives that you've been involved with, and are you still involved with the Lift series and Vacationer series?
Yeah, well, I'm working on the Lift series now. It's every winter I spend about a month touring around in mountain towns with ski resorts, play a show, do some skiing, and then try to link up, or not try to, but I link up with a local organization and community-based or a nonprofit. Sometimes the ski resorts have organizations that they fund, and that could be anything. It could be an environmental group. It could be a group that's working with mental health patients, getting them on the mountain, whatever. But just like the mountain is such a metaphor for life, it offers so many challenges and so many opportunities to heal, and it brings so many people together. And I'm such a freak about nature and mountains, and I love to ski, and I love music, and I love the opportunity to put all those things together. And music brings people together, and I've always been interested in linking up with organizations or causes or things that people are doing, and wanting to use concerts as a way to highlight that and raise awareness, or maybe even help out and do some good for whatever's going on. And so that's what Lift Series is all about. And then the Vacationer is the same thing. It's just in summer towns where there's summertime stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I'll go play a beach town, and we'll, you know, like last year I was playing in Annapolis, Maryland, and then I went and got on a an oyster boat where they were planting this oyster farm was planting oysters everywhere, because this organization just got crazy funding to make a whole oyster bed all through the Chesapeake Bay, because Chesapeake Bay is just so dirty, but oysters are like the best way to filter that water and clean that water. And it adds to the biodiversity of the life, the marine life. And, you know, oysters build up reefs, and when they die, it's just like this rock of calcium and magnesium right there in the water that slowly decays and enhances the nutrient value of the water. But so many animals can and plants can attach to that and grow from that and build their habitats from that. And so I got to go help do that and play music for an organization that was volunteering for that. So it's really fun.
That's incredible. Your music is inspirational and very relatable. And the initiatives that you're involved in is just as if you will. So you moved away from wine a little bit. It's not a main focus, but you do have Denon Goods, the Denon Goods company, and people could access that through your website right now. Is that just a one-stop shop for artwork and or Brett Denon merch?
It's really confusing right now, because I have Brett Denon merch, and then I have my artwork that I'm original stuff that I make and sell, and then we have Denon Goods. So we got to combine them all together. But Denon Goods is something that my lady and I, we started as a way to make affordable art type prints, graphics with song lyrics and art put together where we can just sell posters and t-shirts and things like that that have positive messages on them. And then we want to grow it into a brand that kind of like the Live Series tour or the Vacationer tour that I just explained, kind of like that, where we can do community programs and have the merchandise fund that. And then, but yeah, I also paint pictures and sell those on the side as well. And I love to do work for hire. Like I get a lot of custom orders for custom things. Like people will say, paint me a 14 by 20 inch watercolor painting of my favorite waterfall. Or so I do a lot of that. It's really fun. And it's actually saved me in the pandemic.
Have you ever done concert posters for other artists, or is it just your sort of commission to do?
I would love to. I would love to paint for other artists. I would love to do posters. I would love to do all kinds of branding and collaborations. There's a great reggae band called Soja, and they're from the Washington, D.C. area. And they, like 5 years ago, I think, they put out a live album. And I painted the album cover for that. But I'd love to do more stuff like that.
Love that. I might hit you up for some official radio station, maybe design the next t-shirt or something, if you have time.
Cool.
Heck yeah. You know? Yeah, heck yeah. That'd be amazing. Well, there you go. So we were promised a version of Paul Newman Daytona Rolex.
Yep.
You gave a brief storyteller's type of moment earlier in the conversation already. It was the most expensive watch ever sold. And I guess that was the inspiration behind the song.
Well, the inspiration was I was watching the Antiques Roadshow, and there was this really cool guy, looked like the kind of guy I would love, just like wearing a Hawaiian shirt, had a big old mustache. The dude was in his 70s, and he brought in this watch that he bought when he was like in his 20s, I think. He had just become a pilot, and he had spent a few hundred dollars on it, and it was appraised for a few hundred thousand dollars. And it was a Rolex Daytona, which I guess a lot of pilots would buy. And the guy told him that this is really great, and yeah, this is a really nice watch, and he was really pleased. And he's like, and the thing that's really special about this is that makes it super rare is this is the Paul Newman version of the Paul Newman Rolex Daytona. I guess Rolex makes a bunch of Daytona watches, but Paul Newman had his signature edition because he was a total Rolex guy. The minute I heard Paul Newman, I was like, what? Because I'm a huge Paul Newman fan, just as a movie star and a philanthropist. I love it. So then I went down this rabbit hole of Paul Newman has his own watch. And then, of course, he's got this famous watch that he wore when he got second place in Le Mans in 1979, which is a huge deal. That's the hardest race there is to win. And they made a whole movie about it with Matt Damon and Christian Bale a couple of years ago. But I was like, that would be such a cool song, is to write a song about the Paul Newman Daytona watch. So I worked on it for a while, and I had a good idea, but then, I only got as far as the first verse and the chorus. And I think at one time I just like had a talk with myself. I was like, what am I doing? I'm just writing a song about a watch. How can I make this interesting? And I don't know how it hit me, but it hit me that maybe this song isn't about a watch or about Paul Newman. It's about the value we put on things. Maybe it's about like, what do we deem as priceless or invaluable, both for sentimental reasons or for human rights, what we all deserve, clean water, healthy food, world peace. And so that's why in the second verse, the song leaves the watch, leaves Paul Newman, those big ideas. Anyways, I'll play it for you.
I've never been accused of being fancy. I'm not stupid with my money, honey. I can be stupid for free. took it to the antique road show. They told me it was worth a boatload, but I'm never gonna sell it. My granddaddy gave it to me. Them in Daytona Rolex, perpetual motion. You thought this second hand smoother than cool hand. No, I take it for real. It makes me feel like time is on my side. Time is on my side. Baby, I'm a man from another time. Second most definite reprise. I bring back the crystal rivers and all the mother nature's creatures, cause I wanna live in harmony. Harlem and Daytona Rolex, perpetual motion, you know this. Second hand smoother than cool hand. Singing for real, it makes me feel like time is on my side. Time is on my side. Baby, I'm a man from another time. Paul Newman, Daytona Rolex, perpetual motion, you know this. Second hand, smoother than cool hand. Not singing for real. Makes me feel like time is on my side. Time is on my side. Oh, maybe I'm a man from another time.
Right, there you go. Paul Newman, Daytona Rolex, done by Brett Denon himself in his home studio somewhere in Ventura County. That's it. You got to go, huh? All right. See you later.
Open. It's just a little maple box in here. It just gets so hot.
What are your plans for the rest of the afternoon? The beach or anything like that?
No, I went to the beach this morning and I surfed and I got my butt handed to me. It was a very humbling experience. But the rest of the day, I'm just going to be in here talking on the phone and making some art and working on some stuff for the future.
Incredible, man. It seems like you've always been on this sort of upward trajectory. When we see you at the Troubadour in November, you bringing a full band behind you?
Full band, that's right.
I'm into it, man. We'll be right here. It was great to see you again, by the way. And
Thanks for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for doing it. I'm sure you've been doing a lot of Zoom interviews to promote the new record. Again, See the World is out right now. BrettDenon.live is the website. That's really all I got for you, my man.
Well, then let's leave it at that. Thank you so much.